baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you're listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. What's up, Goes?
What up?
Not much. It's Monday, September 30th. The end of summer is upon us. I'm one of those dudes that was born in September, and because of that, I feel like September is special. And summer doesn't end for me on Labor Day weekend. It actually ends for me at the end of September. Then we turn the page, and October's here, Columbus Day, Halloween, pumpkins, all that stuff. The fall, the autumn. So I'm still enjoying this last day.
I'm exhausted mentally. There was so much MMA to watch this weekend. And then you add in just being a normal guy and having a life and football and soccer, all kind of... Man, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I hear you. Lots of MMA to talk about. There was two Bellator cards back-to-back, Bellator 227 and Bellator 228. And, of course, Bellator Europe, which is part of Bellator 227 or vice versa. We explained it last week. And there was UFC on ESPN Plus 18, also known as UFC Copenhagen and Fight Night, whatever. So we'll talk about all that, all of the results, all the money that was paid out in bonuses where, you know, the UFC likes to do that, and all the accolades, all the movements from the winners and some of the losers, and, of course, some of the news nuggets that are out there. So here we go, Junkie Nation, buckle up. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a Monday. All you Junkie fans, listen up. If you're looking for a sports podcast that's outside the box, where the topics are trending and all of the people speak their minds, listen to our brothers and sister over at For the Win Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Popular Apps.
And to catch up with the latest news in golf, check out the Forward Press Podcast by Golf Week.
As a matter of fact, to see all the USA Today Network podcasts, including podcasts from NFL and NBA, go to podcast.usatoday.com. All right, I don't see the point in messing around. Let's just get right to it, because Bellator.
I was wondering where you were going to go, because it just seemed like there was so much going on with Bellator between the actual events, the selection show, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I like that you went this route.
Well, look, listen, Cannonier and Hermansson, we'll talk about that. And stuff went down in Copenhagen, but I believe Bellator just did more, and it took them two cards and a half, or whatever you want to call it, Europe, maybe we'll call it three cards. It took all of that to say, hey, look, I think just Bellator had more things going on, because they threw a lot of numbers at the wall, you know what I mean? So stuff was bound to happen. They had some popular names, you know, famous names, legend names, up and comers, and here's where I want to start out of all of them, goes AJ McKee.
Great performance. I mean, it was quick. There's not much you could say about it, but how about the fact that mentally, you have to look at the fact that him and his dad are on the same card.
Yeah, we've historic
heard,
there.
We've heard brothers talk about being on the same card and what that does to them, not just emotionally, but you know, having to split coaches and things like that. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. So for him to be able to put all that together, him and his pops, I thought that was pretty cool. And the performance itself was just so quick.
He wasn't the co-main nor the main at Bellator 228, but I just thought he was the biggest name. Mm-hmm. Because he got that quick knockout. And so just like MVP a few years ago, but who's he fought? Well, slowly AJ McKee's been fighting some really, really good fighters, but he's just clipping them, you know, really, really quick. And he looks so, like, he looks like he's having fun out there. Did you see him in the selection show when he's like pointing at me, holding number one? Like he was literally like, "Who fucking wants some? Step up." You know what I mean?
The outfit.
And this is with Pitbull, who's a champ, by the way. Whose English has gotten better, but he went out there and did his job. He defended, and then of course he had the little like Joker card to play. You know what I mean? In terms of the shakeup of the next round, which we'll get to in just a second. But throughout all that, I was still just more focused on the McKee family.
Yeah, he's becoming a star, and that's what Bellator needs. They need stars, but they need to kind of homegrown some of these guys because, you know, Aaron Pico, that hasn't really worked out completely so far. A lot of veterans come over, and not all of them really pan out the way Bellator's wanted to. So for them to have a young guy with some, like, pizzazz, he reminds me of kind of like the way Kevin Lee started to grow a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I like it.
Yeah. All right, so look, to pay their due, Gegard Mousasi did defeat Lyoto Machida. Well, no, actually, let's go to the night before. We'll just go in order since we are going with Bellator first. In the main event, James Gallagher, this is for Bellator Europe. James Gallagher defeated Roman Salazar. I know most people are saying, like, why don't you just call him Gallagher? Mm-hmm. They go out of their way to say Gallagher. So James Gallagher defeated Roman Salazar. He's a big star for them out in Europe. He does have, you know, he's no longer undefeated, but that was like kind of like the big thing for a while. But the dude's a very, very entertaining. And because, you know, that part of the world has produced a lot of famous fighters, you know what I mean? I just think there's a lot of promise on him, but I still feel like there's more on AJ McKee. Whatever, he did his job. He won. Michael Venom Page back in the win column. Danny Nealon defeated Camila Rivioli. What was her name? Rivarola. There you go. Wow. Tongue twister. Michael Venom Page back in the wing column. Not before being called a piece of S by Dan Mergogliato. We'll get into that.
Interesting.
Peter Queeley defeated Ryan Scope. Benson Henderson was the headliner of the Bellator 227 card. He's the winner there. We just can't spend enough time on the other winners. I mean, look, I'm looking at the card. Goes, they almost had like 20 fights that night. But let's focus on Benson Henderson. Still gas left in the tank. Defeats Miles Jury. Okay, hats off. But look, what's going to happen here? You know, you got Pitbull Frady, who's the champ I just said a second ago. He's the lightweight champ and featherweight champ, but he's tied up in this Grand Prix, and he's not fighting till March. And I'm wondering if he's not fighting till March because he can squeeze a fight in December. That's the duty of being a champ. And if you're not going to be a champ, then it should be Benson versus somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you bring back Chandler, which... Again, I don't know if Bellator fans have had their fill of it. Maybe Chandler just needs that one fight because, you know, he did get finished in his last fight or what. But I think Benson should be fighting for a title at some point.
Well, some of it has to do with the performance as well. I mean, that to me just seemed like a sparring session. Neither guy really came out wanting it. Miles Jury even had kind of like a perplexed look at the end. Like he thought he had won the fight. It just not very much was being done in the fight. So... it's hard to ask for those type of things if you don't have those performances that leave you wanting more.
This is true. And, you know, Benson Henderson is 35 years of age. I mean, they got to do something with that guy. Otherwise, he's going to become Josh Thompson. I don't mean any disrespect, but when Josh Thompson came over, we felt like, okay, this is the guy that can maybe either be a champ at Bellator or put someone over, put guys over. And I know a lot of those guys don't like to be gatekeepers, but that's what they're there to do. If it's either going to be them, great. We use their name. We use their popularity and everything. And if not, then guess what? Someone younger happens to beat them along the way, and then that catapults them. So let's see what happens there. Michael Venom Page, he got the win after getting deducted a point. What'd you think of all that? And what'd you think of the whole...
showboating?
Well, that and everything that ensued with the Mergogliato comment, alleged Mergogliato comments.
It's weird because the showboating is like... it's what puts him over. It's why people tune in. So I think there has to be a good mixture of that with actual fighting. And I think if you look at MVP and you look at everything he's done, you can look up and down his record and you could see the dude comes out and fights. You know, some of the greatest finishes in Bellator history come from him. So the showboating doesn't really get on my nerves so much. What happened afterwards, I mean, we just kind of have to go off of what he said. His coach said that he heard it as well. That kind of sucks. That's kind of a line that a referee should never, ever cross.
Right.
And I don't blame MVP if it is true. Or even if it's not, I just think it's something where he's right. Maybe Mergogliato should never do an MVP fight ever again.
Right. That I agree with. But what if he did say it?
If he did, it's the wrong place. It's not. It's not his place. It's not his job to do that.
Right. But is there a repercussion, or do we just turn the page?
There's got to be some kind of repercussion.
And what would you go with?
I don't know. Maybe the commission says, "Hey, you got to sit out a card or something like that."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be down with something like that as well.
How do you prove
there's
it?
Just,
though?
There's just no. Well, ask him flat out,
and if he denies, then it's
right. Exactly. Ask him. I think these referees take an oath, not like putting your hand on a Bible type thing, like, hey, you know, you're under oath. But ask him point blank, and if he says no, then you take him at his word, because I think Dan's done enough in the sport where you're like, well, you know, maybe he said something that sounded like it, or who knows what. But yes, he should never do another page fight. And if he does admit it, then there should be a little repercussion. I've heard of that before, where certain refs, cut men have to sit out a couple of events just when stuff goes down behind the scenes. So we'll see. All right. As far as Gallagher getting the win, you excited about him yet, or is just all this happening too slow for you over at Bellator?
It's happening too slow.
Me too.
And he's a good fighter, but it's nothing. You want to see fighters where you go, wow, that guy could take out a champ in another organization, or you look at things like future matchups. There's just really nothing there.
Yeah. I can't get into it either, man. And it sucks, because Bellator is a great complement to the UFC. They should be pushing the UFC. In fact, I feel like they do push the UFC. Whereas before, where you felt like the UFC was bothered by the presence of another promotion that was pushing them, you know, they would counter program and all that. It just looks like the UFC just, it's like a fly on their arm, and you just bat it away, and that's that. You know, I don't know that there's any concern for the UFC for what Bellator is doing, because it all gets lost on DAZN. And did you have any, did it ever freeze on you or just go out on you at all? Or was it just
froze?
This was happening to me in the main event.
Buffering,
yeah. It was happening to me a little bit on Saturday, and it really pissed off the whole room that I was in, because I was part of a group. You know, it was my buddy Gabe's birthday. Shout out to him. And we had all just come back from a day of spending it with him. We got the fights on, and it just kept freezing. Now, I've never been a big complainer about this, because if it buffers for a second, I can take it. If it buffers for three, gets on my nerves, but I can take it. But it was going away for like 20 seconds, and we'd all just sit there and look at each other.
I'd have to restart.
We had to restart a couple times. It sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Twitter, there were more than a few people that were saying the same thing. So I don't think, you know, it happens one or two times. You look at yourself and you go, oh, bad day for my internet provider. But when you see it across the board, then you know, all right, that's what sucks, man. This is what's part of the new streaming era. I think we're going to come across this, but I'm a big NFL fan, an NBA fan, MLB.
Yeah, it ain't the fucking
I love that
future.
I don't have to worry about that when I'm watching it on TV. Can you imagine being in the sports book and that happens or something like that? No way, man.
Dana White's always tried to say that. What's the future? You got to get used to it. No, you don't, because I can still turn on my TV and watch sports just fine.
The big
ones,
too.
And guess what?
Too.
What you need to do is get that NFL contract or the NBA contract. Those are massive. Go out and get those and get on big ESPN or do whatever. But this whole thing of shoveling poop down our throats and saying this is the future. No, it's a great way to receive Netflix and
it's
everything
your
else.
Future, maybe.
But live TV sports, I'm not on board there.
No.
But anyway, back to this. Something going down here?
Uh-huh. You look at
it's like 6 a.m., man, on a Monday. Who's arguing? Who's bickering here at the Mandalay Bay? Okay, go ahead.
Horse racing, Daytona 500, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine a buffering situation there?
Oh, man.
Get out of here, man.
I know.
That ain't the future.
That wouldn't be the most exciting 2 minutes in sports if you did that at the Kentucky Derby. All right, now we switch over to Saturday night. Bellator 228 in Los Angeles. Inglewood was in the house. Gegard Mousasi defeated Lyoto Machida. They are now 1-1, and I don't care too much about seeing the trilogy.
Me
because
neither.
There's just no – I mean, one guy helped up the other guy, for crying out loud, and it was the guy accusing the other guy of using steroids to beat him in the first fight. Now, again, not trying to be the drama queen or anything, but that is a little bit of what pulls me in. You know what I mean? And this was just all too nice. I don't know what Bellator needs to do. Whatever media was being done, whatever countdowns were being done, it didn't pull me in. And I'm pretty hardcore. You know what I mean? So the buildup to the fight was just like, tap me on the shoulder when the fight's on. That's what I care about. Yeah. But other than that, all the stuff leading up to it, you know, are they good now or whatever? I don't know. And they need to figure out a way to sell that.
You know what it feels like to me with some of these veterans that come over to Bellator? When you look at guys in the UFC, I'm going to use Kevin Lee again as an example. All you ever hear about him when you hear him in interviews is, I got to get a couple wins together. I got to get that belt. I got to make that money. There's like a drive to them. These veterans that come over to Bellator, when they fight, I'm sorry to say it, but it almost sounds like they're just collecting paychecks. Like, yeah, they've already done what they've wanted to do in their career, and now it's all about just the moment. And if they get a win, great. And if they don't, hey, no skin off my back. I'll be back in a couple months. There's just not that drive. And if the fighters don't feel that, if they're not pushing to get victories, then how's the fan supposed to sit back and be excited about fights?
And in Musasi's case, he hasn't accomplished everything he could because he's very capable of winning a UFC middleweight title, mm-hmm. except he got a better offer at Bellator. Maybe he felt disrespected or whatever. I'm sure every fighter has his own reason for coming over. But I'm telling you, if Musasi would have kept fighting in the UFC, I would have been on that train. I would have been on that train. You know what I mean? And because he had a little bit of swag to him. He was like, the guy just doesn't give a fuck anymore. He was saying what was on his mind. And that all kind of went away, and now it's just a little bit buried on Bellator. And it sucks because a lot of good quality people work there. They're trying their asses off, but it's just not working. You need to do stuff like what I'm about to talk about, because now I want to focus on the four featherweight fights, Patricio Freire versus Juan Archuleta. Well, he beat him. There you go. He defended his title while beating him. Unanimous decision, but just, oh, my God, what a drag of a fight that was. AJ McKee iced Georgie Karakanyan. He moves on. Darren Caldwell defeated Henry Corrales. It was a little bit interesting. And Daniel Weichel defeated Saul Rogers. Unanimous there as well. So the ones that move on are Frady, McKee, Caldwell, and Weichel. And what they did was afterwards, they pulled those four along with the previous winners of the Bellator Grand Prix, Bellator Featherweight Grand Prix. They put Mauro Ranallo up there as a master of ceremonies, which I'm telling you, put Mauro Ranallo up there for anything, a hot dog eating contest, it doesn't matter. He'll make it interesting. Look, this was a little bit corny to me in a way. Just had this game show feel, like a Family Feud feel. Four on one side, four on the other with their coach. But that's what Bellator needs, because I was just complaining about, like, there's nothing that they do that stands out sometimes other than the walkouts. You know, they have a nice stage and stuff like that. Production's really, really cool. But they needed something like this. And I wanted to ask you, what did you think? And then I'll give you the selections
here. I thought it was really cool. But you're right. It did kind of have a little bit of a game show feel to it. You got Mercedes. She's the Vanna White. It had its moments where I think it could be a little corny. But it was interesting. And it's outside the box. They took something that's outside the box in tournaments, which really is how a lot of this started. So it's funny that it's out of the box now, but they brought that back, and then they even gave that a twist. And don't forget, like, a lot of tournaments that we've seen, they go eight. You know, this one, they went even deeper. 16. So I think it's cool that they're defending. Doing that. Yeah, yeah. And I thought it was cool. Like, at the end of the day, I thought I kind of clapped and said,
well, then they had the championship twist to it all.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing it needed, all right, and you guys might shut my mic off at this point because I think I'm beating the dead horse. It needed drama. It needed a shove or two guys to get close to each other, with security almost having to intervene. I'm not saying start a fight, folks. I don't need bottles thrown. I don't need some kid in the third row to have his forehead cut open or anything like that. Nobody to get trampled. I'm just saying there's a lot of people know what to do. I mean, a stare down can be a stare down. Two fighters who hate each other can still be professional and say, this is my job. This is what's needed to sell. This is that tense moment. You know what I mean? It can be done. And I thought we were going to get it. And I thought Pitbull was kind of cool because he said, what did he say? He flipped it on them. He goes, who wants to fight me? You know, and then they're all, again, AJ McKee leading the way. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It was pretty funny, that little twist. In the end, he chose the later matchup of March 2020, because he had the matchup of who he could choose and when, and he went with Pedro Carvalho, which then moved things around because Darian Caldwell was going to match up against Pedro Carvalho. Now it's, we'll go in order, AJ McKee versus Derek Campos. Campos chose AJ McKee, so hats off to him. Adam Borix versus Darian Caldwell. That got thrown together because of the twist of Patricio Pitbull Frady, which I'll mention in a second. Daniel Weichel rematches Emmanuel Sanchez. By the way, that was a great fight. I would love to see that again. We are going to get to see that again. So it goes December, January, February. Now we're in March. Patricio Pitbull Frady against Pedro Carvalho. The one moment in which Eric Albarracin, the head coach for Patricio Pitbull, the guy that's always wearing the white glasses, better known as, it looked like he was whispering in his ear. And what I really would like to know is if he said, hey, if you take March, we can defend in December. Because he's the lightweight champ too. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? And if he said that, ooh, man, then that gets me excited. That gets me excited about Pitbull. But if he's going to sit out till then he's got to make the announcement that he can't defend that other belt. Because that other belt, it's just a shame. That's a division goes where, fuck, in a week or two here at Mandalay Bay, we're going to have eight guys battling for $1 million at PFL. There are plenty of lightweights out there where you can have yourself an interesting, you know, some interesting contender matches and then a title fight over at Bellator.
I thought it was interesting adding in the dates, you know, being able to select the dates. I thought it was cool. Well, some of the fighters were even disclosing injuries, and because they would ask them, like, what is your reasoning behind choosing this? I thought that was a little odd. I think you kind of hold that, you know, close to your chest and maybe just say, I need some more time or I have family duties or something. But I don't know if you want to disclose exactly what your injury is, that sort of stuff. But it was interesting. It was funny to see the coaches and the fighter talk. What I couldn't tell was if that was genuine, the talk between the fighter and the coach.
Or if they had already discussed it.
Was like the corny game show part where before they talked and they said, here's what we do in this scenario, here's what we do in that scenario, but when you guys are on stage, we need you to make it look, because some of it looked a little corny, the talk. But
it did. It looked like some people already knew, you know, it was just a matter of saying this, right? Yeah, that. Okay, boom. We're going to go with this. But yeah, that's the only thing I can think of was just, you know, hey, get that surgery six weeks, boom, we start camp. I mean, how much can you really say? You know what I mean? Nobody was covering up their lips like in soccer, so I guess you could really, really freeze it, and maybe we could get some info if we wanted. But that's a little too high on the geek level for me. Anyway, that's a little bit of Bellator, and of course, behind the scenes, they had a big announcement. Chris Cyborg versus Julia Budd, they will be on that January card that we talked about, the same one with AJ McKee and Derek Campos. That's an immediate title fight, by the way. And again, Bellator houses a lot of the top fighters, featherweights, women's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this is not like one of those matchups where you just go, oh, Chris is going to trample over everybody. I mean, she might, but there's good quality 45ers over there.
Yeah, it'll be fun for sure. Good to see her reunited with Scott Coker. But I think every time you see Chris Cyborg, she's always going to have that name Amanda Nunes attached to it, and makes you wish you could see that matchup.
Right. But again, did it lack a little bit of oomph?
What do you mean?
Like, she walked out.
Oh.
Chris Cyborg. Okay. Or are we just getting older? Are we just too cool now?
I know. You know what it is? I don't know if it's the way the production gets handled with Bellator, because I've seen these things happen live, right? I saw when Fedor was announced. I've seen a lot of this live, and it's loud in the arena, but on TV it doesn't come across. It does kind of just seem like almost like that that Saturday morning WWE show. I forget what it was called, but where just things didn't pop the way like a Monday Night Raw would pop. That's what it comes off on TV. I can't tell if it's the production that does that or if it's the actual people, because I've seen these announcements happen in person and it's loud in there. But you're right. It was kind of just like, oh.
I've always been a big fan of, let's say we know Cole. Well, that's a dumb one. Let's say we know Goz is next for the winner of Emmanuel versus Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Bring Goz into the octagon or into the decagon or into the cage or wherever they're at. I've liked that moment, with the exception of some people will say, well, but you're taking away from the winner's moment and whatever. Well, yeah, but we're also going to put money in his pocket because this is going to be bigger because of that, just that little moment. You know, again, I'm not asking for a big brouhaha. I'm just asking for a tense moment and a stare down or maybe a comment, and there we're off and running. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
boxing. But this one was just like, she came out, Julia Budd was there, but in my mind, I was like, get him out of there. I want to see the next fight. See what I'm saying? Like, I didn't care. Like, so again, I may just be so long into the sport that I just care about the fights now. If you're not going to do a well-produced tense moment. And those ladies, they didn't for me.
Yeah, but they got to do something, right? I mean, think of all the money that they're investing in her. Something's got to be done.
Yeah, that's always been the difference for me with pro wrestling. I don't hate on pro wrestling, but the difference has always been is that this is a fight at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so putting Bellator to bed, that was it. Any final thoughts?
I think overall for Bellator,
good weekend, right?
It was a good weekend. Yeah, there were like points of certain cards where you could just go, well, what are we doing here? But then there were some good moments too.
In Copenhagen, we had UFC on ESPN Plus 18. By the way, I'm always saying, when people go, what are you betting on? And if I don't have an answer for them, I always tell them, you're pretty safe if you just bet the dogs. And here's what happened, goes, there was 13 fights in Copenhagen. 6 favorites won, 7 underdogs won.
Nice.
If you just bet every underdog.
They were close, though, weren't they, the underdogs?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, one big one was Lena Landsberg. But if you just bet the underdogs, you would have made $600 if you were a $100 better.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's just off. Give me all the underdogs. There's no strategy or nothing. You just walk up to the counter and go, give me all the underdogs. But, yeah, big, big night for the underdogs. And, of course, at the top of the bill, it was Jared Cannonier defeating Jack Hermanson. Second round stoppage. Your thoughts?
Decent fight. I like the fact that Cannonier was able to adjust because early on that fight was not going his way. And I'm not to say that he was in any trouble. You could just tell that's not what he was expecting. You know, he was getting thrown around. That rarely happens to him. So for him to be able to make the adjustments and come around, that was cool. Everything he said in the post-fight speech, I think he made a lot of fans with that post-fight speech. I think it's one of the longer ones we've ever seen. Even when a fighter retires, I don't know that they take that long. But it was a good fight.
Yeah, and where do you think it puts him as far as middleweights? I mean, I don't think it leapfrogs. He leapfrogs Costa. Costa's next for the winner of Whitaker versus Izzy, correct? Yeah. I mean, unless it's the barn burner rematch that we have to have. But other than that, I think Paulo Costa awaits him. Hermanson was slotted behind Costa. But I would say that he gets somebody. He can either wait and fight the winner of Costa versus the winner of Israel Adesanya versus Whitaker, which takes place in 6 days, or he can just fight another fighter, but I don't think he leapfrogs Paulo Costa.
No, because going into the fight, remember, he was the B-side in this contract.
Yeah.
So I don't even know that he has the right to do that. In the UFC, unless you really have some kind of crazy statement win, guys like that just get lost in the shuffle. When the next card comes along, and just you just kind of get lost in the shuffle. That's how it is. It's a card that not a lot of people saw. You know, you had to wake up a little early.
And it's buried in college football on Saturday.
Yeah.
Plus, again, end of summer, just final weekends. Some parents are taking their kids off to college. I mean, there's just so many different things that people are doing. This card wasn't sexy enough. You know what
I mean? Joker Hermanson, that's like a hardcore name. You know, so even then, it's like, yeah. But he had to take the fight. It was an opportunity that he had to take.
Yeah. Well, big win for him, but again, I think Costa's next, and I don't think he needs to fight Costa for the winner of that other fight, because all Costa has to do is wait for Saturday, and he basically can just slot himself in versus that. I mean, Costa's undefeated, for crying out loud, and he just beat Romero. When you beat Romero, it's like, hey, dog, I've already fried bigger fish, and I'm undefeated. You go fight somebody and get in line. And I have a lot of love towards Cannonier because he's made me some money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan of his.
Well, we said we were shocked at how that line was. It didn't really represent both guys' skill sets. That was a little high for Jack Hermanson.
Other winners on the main card were Mark Madsen, Gilbert Burns, Jan Kotalaba, Ovince St. Preux, or is it Ovince Von Flew, Nicholas Dalby. Well, I'll just continue. There's, you know, some respectable names here on the undercard. John Phillips, Mahmoud Muradov, Ismail Nardiev, Giga Chikadze, Lena Landsberg beats Mary Chasson. Macy Chasson, excuse me. What the hell happened there? Mark Diakise defeated Groovy Lando Venata, and Jack Shore defeated Noeline Hernandez. Fight of the night. There was no bonus awarded that way. They went the route of 4 performances of the night.
Four.
Jared Cannonier, Ovince Von Flew, John Phillips, and Jack Shore. I keep joking around, but this, I think, is either his 3rd or 4th Von Flew choke. So, Ovince St. Preux has that down. Those were the 50,000 that were awarded there. 12,767 were at the Royal Arena in Copenhagen, Denmark. and there was a gate of 1,800,000 or 600,000. I didn't bring my glasses, but I think it's 600,000. Huge, huge night there for those guys. It is 600,000. But again, this just got buried on a Saturday. And, you know, look, I it's not like I'm breaking news to the UFC of what they should and shouldn't do. One thing they got to do was promote this week's card, you know, the big pay-per-view happening out in Melbourne, Australia. They're going to try to break the record for the biggest gate ever, somewhere in the 56,000 range, with the main event of Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya. Any final thoughts here on Copenhagen?
It was a good card, but I'll be honest, I didn't watch it live. Mm-hmm. There was just too much going on. But every fight was pretty interesting. I think the fans in Denmark were pretty happy, even though not every fight went their way, but it was good.
All right, let's talk next about some of the news nuggets that are out there. There's some good news and there's some bad news. I was listening to a replay of Ryan McKinnell and Misha Tate show on SiriusXM's Fight Nation Channel 156. They have MMA Tonight on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. But I was catching the Wednesday show Wednesday night. And on that show, they talked to Raquel Pennington. And she was so excited about her fight coming up against Holly Holm in that stadium show in Melbourne, Australia. What she clearly said was, "We leave tomorrow. Me and the team." Mm-hmm. Her fiance Tisha Torres, fellow UFC fighter, but she's a strawweight. Her coaches and everybody, you know, on Team Pennington, Team Rocky, they were all leaving. So that I clearly remember, but she was really, really excited about it. Her weight was, she was managing it great, and she was just excited. This was going to be a rematch for her. And I mean, come on, you're going down under on the company's dime, you get to fight, you know, possibly beat someone up, and it doesn't get any better than that. And then we hear about Holly Holm pulling out on Friday, and I knew it. I go, oh. I think it was either late Thursday or something like that. It had to be late Thursday or Friday. All I remember goes was thinking, she's halfway across the Pacific Ocean. If she has access to the internet, oh, fuck, dude. Oh, you got to be seething. You know what I mean? Apparently, Holly Holm tore her hamstring. So no serious injury there. There's not like a torn labrum in the shoulder. That's a year injury. There's no knee or Achilles heel, nothing like that. They may be able to just rebook it and, you know, isolate this matchup and keep it for a future matchup or whatever, but it's not going to happen on Saturday. I'm pretty It'll bummed out about it. Yeah.
I mean, from what I know about that injury is you can either get the surgery done and I think you come back a little quicker, or you can just let it heal on its own and it takes a little bit longer. And I heard she opted to just let it go and not have any surgery. So, I mean, if you got no hamstring, there's really not much you can do. It's not like she can stay in shape and then rebook this fight. Like, I think they just have to hit the reset button on this fight.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I did the math, and she was either halfway there, or, and if you look on Instagram or Twitter for Raquel Pennington, there was a picture of her at the airport with her team. They were all decked out in the same tracksuit. Mm-hmm. You could see the bags in the back. That's so it wasn't nice. Like, oh, maybe that's a team picture or something like that. You could tell they were at the airport ready to go, man. Dude, that one sucks so bad. Yeah, probably because I just listened to the interview. I heard the excitement in her voice. I saw the picture, and I'm just thinking, God, what do you do at that point?
Well, you know, think about it.
Like, you probably won't get rebooked because there's not really just another quality 35er ready to go with a passport, visa, or, you know, I'm sure they all got passports, but, you know, that kind of clearance flying across to the other side, you just kind of know you're screwed. I guess you get a vacation on the company, because I'm sure she'll get her show, right? Or what do you think?
Yeah, once
you
board the plane, she's got to get the show at least. But I mean,
she's a Dana White favorite. Have you ever noticed that when she's in town or something like that, and there's a fight going on, she'll sit next to him for a little while? He's always liked her.
Well, okay, here's the thing. You're going to Australia, so right away, whatever you're going to make, you're not going to make that anymore, right? You hope you get your show, but you're going to Australia. You're getting taxed. So you're taking a big chunk out of that. Like, that is that's brutal news to find out. Mm-hmm. You're already mad that you got to pay double taxes. And on top of that, you're not even going to get the whole thing.
I think I would tell Dana White, can you not pay me my show? But when we get back, can you send me a check? You know, kind of like keep it as a U.S. transaction versus an Australia transaction. Because those taxes suck. And there's what's the unfortunate thing. They're probably going to break a record because the Aussies come strong, especially in that city. Shout out to Michael Chavello. He's always told me great stories about Melbourne, Australia, and the sporting fans that they are. But once you get past Whittaker versus Adesanya, you got Aya Quinta and Hooker. Solid. Holm versus Pennington would have been really, really nice, but you lose that. And now you got Sergey Spivak versus Tai Tuivasa. Look, someone's probably getting knocked out there, so we'll be all right. But then there's Luke Jumel versus Diego Lima. Nah. You know, and whatever they're going to promote, again, Rostam Akman versus Jake Matthews. Nah. Justin Toffa versus Jorgen. Nah. Fuck. Y'all done fucked up. If this is going to be a show that breaks the record, treat it like that. And I know you got to spoil us in New York and Vegas, which we'll get to in a second, and they've done a great job. But when you have a saturated roster, this is what happens. I mean, this could be skipped by some people. They may break the record in the stadium, but the pay-per-views, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, I'm not saying Holm and Pennington are the decider, but it would have been nice for that fight not to fall out and for us to be talking about two other fights in addition to that fight. That's what this needed.
If you're Australian, then I think, you're stoked. But I think people back here, it's just not that type of card where it makes you stop what you're doing to watch it. You want to know what's happening. You want to know the result, but you're probably waiting to get a phone call from your buddy that goes, I'm having the fight. Do you want to come over?
Exactly. You be the man, and I'm going to be the wife. Mm-hmm. All right? Honey, don't forget, we're going to the wedding on Saturday.
What wedding?
Just play with me here. The Johnsons are getting married. All right, so you don't have any problems, right?
There's some fights on.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. What's the card? Who's on that card?
Well, it's going to be one of the biggest fight cards ever. That's what they're predicting.
Other than Whittaker and Aya Quinta and Izzy, give me another matchup.
Yeah, Hooker and Aya Quinta.
Yeah, see? Shut up and put on your tux. We're going to the wedding. I mean, the guy has nothing. You know what I mean? Now, if the guy can back it up and go, Nick Diaz is returning, and we have Alex Oliveira, you know, or Yancy Medeiros. We got the barn burner match, or even if they had said Hermanson and Cannonier, but because we had to give Copenhagen some talent, and we're gonna have to give other cities, you know, talent. This card isn't as fat and juicy. The husband may have a shot where the wife goes, tell you what, we'll go to the wedding and we'll skip the reception. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. Or we leave the reception early. We'll slip out. No, there's no argument for the man. The man at this point is just like, we got a great match. She's like, you know what? You can just watch. We can go to the reception. And when that matchup starts, slip out to the back. But you're going to be at the cutting of the cake. You're going to be at the garter toss and everything. You didn't give me enough for me to give you a pass. UFC messed up, man. They should have had a little bit more. And I know that they're going to sell out the stadium. But still, what about the other fans at home? This is a fucking pay-per-view, man. We're paying $60 on top of already the $5.99 a month or $4.99 a month just to get to the paywall to give you the pay-per-view. Give us great fights.
All you keep hearing is we're going to break records. We're going to break records. And the first thing you do is you go, really? And you go look at the card and you go, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. That's that. Here's the good news. We'll end with this. Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman are locked in, goes. They are fighting at UFC 245. Three title fights that night. We got Covington challenging Usman for the UFC welterweight title. We have Alex Volkanovski challenging Max Holloway for the UFC featherweight title. And then we have Jermaine Durandamy fighting Amanda Nunes for the UFC women's bantamweight title. How sick is that?
It's a good card. You know, I've said it over and over. It's a fight that needed to happen between Usman and Covington. But it's not necessarily a fight that I'm super stoked to watch. It's not like
Someone's going to have to eat crow, man. Remember the Palms buffet?
But really, like, their styles, I don't know that it's going to set forth a barn burner of a fight. It's just more, somebody's got to eat crow, which we all like a little bit of drama. But really, stylistically, I don't know that it's going to be the most pleasing of fights.
Well, they also have the type of fight I just mentioned that Australia is lacking. Robbie Lawler versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. The three title fights and then that. You still got Jessica Ai coming back versus Vivian Araujo. Matt Brown versus Ben Saunders. Kai Kara-France versus Sergio Pettis. That just got announced. Oscar Piacenza versus Puna Soriano. That's how you build a car. I don't care if you're breaking records or you're in a stadium or whatever. Don't forget about the fan at home that's paying $60. You know what I mean? They're the ones that care about whether they're going to skip it or not. Now, the UFC gets a set amount already from ESPN, so they could just be giving us the middle finger going, well, we're getting paid. But I don't think they've ever publicly said that that's the case. They always say they care about the fans, and guess what? That's when the fans can be vocal.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm down. I mean, this is, like I said, it's a card that you can't miss. It has a couple barn burner type fights. It's got meaningful fights. But at the end of the day, they got it right because Usman and Covington is a fight that has to happen.
Three title fights, man. That's so sick. And I think Vegas is being repaid for last year when they took the John Jones, Alex Gustafson card all the way to L.A. Mm-hmm. All right, and that's the way you make it up to a city. Three title fights, good way to end the year. It's actually December 14th, but still, it's the last month of the year. It's just not the last weekend of the year. But I like it, man. I thought that was really, really good news, and that's the way it should be. The number one contender versus the champion and not all the other nonsense that's been happening. All right, I think this is a good time to get out of here. For the goes, I'm George, and that's it for today. Go out there and be a champion.